This is Health Matters with the 12th episode of Taking Charge of Your Health. Today, we're discussing cancer prevention.
You don't need a college degree to know that cancer and the American way of life go hand in hand. We're referring, of course, to a chemically intensive agriculture and food supply, polluted air and water in virtually all urban areas, and the avalanche of chemically laced products that fill the shelves of supermarkets, hardware stores, and megastores like Target.
There's a lot of fear associated with the threat of cancer, and understandably so, because cancer is a cruel disease that has a high terminal rate, and cancer treatments, while complex and sometimes successful, are very debilitating.
So people fear cancer more than heart disease, even though heart disease takes more lives every year. Yet there are two facts about cancer that can alleviate that fear to some extent. The first is that 50% of cancer is preventable. The second is that what happens in cancer is easy to understand. Once you know how cancer works, you can see why it is that cancer is preventable at least 50% of the time.
Essentially, cancer is a group of cells reproducing themselves without being able to stop. Every cell in the human body has the innate ability to reproduce itself. Healthy cell growth genes have a powerful checks and balance system. The growth control gene produces proteins that enable the reproduction of new cells needed to replenish damaged or discarded tissue, bone, and body fluids.
In cancer, the genes that keep cell growth in check become damaged. The proteins they produce no longer control cellular reproduction. The cell starts to multiply over and over and over. Nothing stops the growth, and it turns into a tumor. Eventually, these cancerous cells get into the bloodstream. In other words, the cancer has metastasized, which means the cancer cells are carried to distant organs, like the brain.
At that point, it's not long before tumors start to grow in other parts of the body. Cancer treatment involves killing the cancer cells so they will stop reproducing. All the cells must be destroyed. Otherwise, they'll keep on reproducing themselves.
So the question is, what damages a cell's genes in the first place? In some cases, people are born with genetic mutations that can contribute to the development of cancer. But in virtually all cases, it's environmental factors that trigger the onset. Food toxins, viruses, ultraviolet radiation, pesticides, cigarette smoke, you name it. All of these environmental insults to the body can damage cellular DNA.
Statistics on cancer risk in the U.S. look like this. One in every two men will develop it. One in every three women will develop it. So the stakes are high. Now, we'll take a look at why 50% of cancer is preventable. And we'll start with smoking. Lung cancer is the highest cause of cancer deaths in both men and women, very largely due to smoking. Yet here's an interesting finding. The more education a person has, the less likely they are to smoke.
Here's another interesting finding. 90% of adult smokers started the habit before the age of 18. That means if a child can reach the age of 18, chances are that he or she will remain tobacco-free for the rest of their lives.
But if you do smoke, the single biggest thing that you can do to prevent cancer is to stop. We're not talking lung cancer only. Smoking increases the risk of cancer in the mouth, throat, nasal cavities, larynx, esophagus, pancreas, kidney, bladder, cervix, and bone marrow. And stopping smoking not only reduces cancer risk, it will improve your health tenfold.
It may surprise you that obesity is the largest non-smoking lifestyle cause of cancer death in the U.S. Obesity is a risk factor for breast, uterine, kidney, and esophageal cancers. Like trying to stop smoking, tackling obesity is not a piece of cake. It takes motivation, an informed, workable plan, and a good support system. Often, medical support is needed. As we discussed last week, proven strategies exist for controlling addictions, be they to food or tobacco.
If you don't smoke and you maintain a normal body weight, your cancer risk is lower than the national average, and there are ways to reduce it even more significantly. Take how you use alcohol, for example.
Right. More than two drinks a day for men or one drink a day for women leads to an increase in the frequency of breast, colon, mouth, and esophageal cancers, and of course, long-term excessive drinking can promote liver cancer.
As for skin cancer, be aware that ultraviolet radiation damages the DNA of skin cells. Use sunscreen. Light-skinned people are more at risk, but dark-skinned people are not home-free. According to recent studies, they need to use sunscreen too.
The word on diet, exercise, and cancer is just what you probably expect to hear by now. Exercise helps enormously. For example, physical activity reduces colon cancer risk by 60% if you get at least 30 minutes of exercise a day.
As for diet, the picture is a little less clear. Diets high in saturated and trans fats are thought to increase the risk of some cancers. The bottom line about diet and cancer is the same bottom line for other health risks we've discussed. Eat whole grains and at least 5 servings of fruit and vegetables a day. At the same time, minimize consumption of saturated fats and trans fats.
Research indicates that vitamin D may be helpful in reducing cancer risk. Given all the other useful tasks vitamin D performs in the body, make sure you're getting enough of it. Most doctors say a supplement is essential. It's something to check out.
We haven't talked about preventing exposure to chemicals, a big subject. Exposure is everywhere, from cleaning products, to pesticides on your food, to paints and toxins and products and containers. It's why we've stressed that some produce should be organic. There are multiple websites with information on how to protect your family from toxic chemicals. We've listed 2 good ones under sources and links included in the summary of this broadcast posted on our website.
And that's it for this topic. If this is the first episode of Taking Charge that you've listened to, you can find the 11 earlier programs on our website. For this audio and more information, visit the download area at www.kidefm.org.
You can also pick up a copy of our Taking Charge packet at the Kim Yurt Memorial Library, the Kamau Diabetes Management Program, the Tribal NF Recreation Office, the Food Distribution Program, or Humboldt Furnishings.
The Taking Charge series is produced and written for KIDE by Cynthia Potten. Engineered by Joseph Orozco. Our readers were Florine McCovey, Joseph Orozco, and Jay Renzulli. Thank you for listening.